So just thank you so much. Know that you have a godly pastor. You know that already. He preaches the word. And so I'm so thankful to be here. I know he just prayed. Let me breathe a quick word of prayer and then we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we just heard from Pastor Lewis, for his heart, for your people, for the way he shepherds your flock, Lord God. We just pray now your blessing over this time as we come to the highest point in our week. God, may your word move in this place. Father, may it go out where you send it and accomplish that which you please for your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to, you can grab your copy of God's Word and meet me in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 10 this morning. And as you're turning there, you know, as finite creatures, we don't know what the future has in store for us. Right? I mean, there's no way for us to know what's ahead. I mean, as Christians, we know ultimately that Christ will be triumphant. We know that much. And we know that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We know that. And that's a great comfort to us. But we don't know what kind of joy or devastation is waiting for us day in and day out, month to month, year to year. We just don't know. The news of a seemingly healthy family member all of a sudden coming sick with lymphoma can rock us. Or maybe having your pastor arrested because of a refusal to comply with government restrictions, as was the case with Pastor James Coates of Grace Life Church in Edmonton, Alberta, in Canada. He was arrested and put in prison for 35 days because of his refusal to close his church during COVID. And as a congregation, I can only imagine how that must have rocked them. We just don't know what's ahead. And this can overwhelm us and shake our faith to the core. The afflictions we experience in this life have the potential to bring our whole world crashing down around us. What do we need, church? What do we need in times like that? What do we need to get us through? What we need is a strengthened faith. We need a strengthened faith. And in our text this morning, Paul was deeply concerned about the faith of the Thessalonian believers. His concern was based on the intense persecution they were experiencing. And if you look at chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, "And you yourselves became imitators of us and of the Lord when, in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit." Or maybe in verse 14 of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says, "For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, since you have also suffered the same things from people of your own country, just as they did from the Jews." Church, the Thessalonian church was a persecuted church. And as a matter of fact, the whole formation of that church resulted in Paul getting kicked out of Thessalonica. He had gone there to preach the gospel, and because of the way the gospel rocked that community, he was chased out of Thessalonica, and he had to go on his missionary journeys. But the church was formed in persecution. And they were experiencing this persecution. And because of this, that there was fear that maybe in light of this affliction that they were going through, that the Thessalonians might abandon their faith, which would render all of Paul's gospel work useless. This is why Paul sent Timothy to find out about and report back to Paul about the progress of the Thessalonian church. And the timeless truth I want us to consider this morning is that a strengthened faith can be a great encouragement to other believers. A strengthened faith can be a great encouragement to other believers. But the question is, how do we know that a person's faith has actually been strengthened? How do we know? How can we tell? What are the indicators of that? Well, I believe our text provides not only what a strengthened faith looks like, but also what a strengthened faith does. And so this morning, there are three things, three observations I want us to see from the Word of God. Number one, I want us to see the positive indicators of a strengthened faith. Secondly, the powerful impact of a strengthened faith. And then thirdly, the impassioned intercession of a strengthened faith. So if you have your Bibles, look with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, where Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "But now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news about your faith and love. He reported that you always have good memories of us and that you long to see us as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction, we were encouraged about you through your faith. For now we live if you stand firm in the Lord. How can we thank God for you in return for all the joy we experience before our God because of you, as we pray very earnestly night and day to see your face, to see you face to face, and to complete what is lacking in your faith?" It's the Word of God. And so the first thing I want us to see is the positive indicators of a strengthened faith. And in our text this morning, Paul is deeply uneasy about the spiritual progress of the church he was violently torn away from because of his gospel ministry. And as a matter of fact, he was wondering if the Thessalonians' faith had been compromised due to the extreme affliction and persecution that they were experiencing as followers of Christ. Had they abandoned their faith? Would they abandon their faith? And so what does Paul do? He sends Timothy to strengthen and encourage them in their faith. And here's the thing. What we see in our text this morning is quite the opposite has occurred with Paul, right? He's there, and if you look back up at verse 5, he says, "For this reason, when I could no longer stand it, I also sent him," that is Timothy, "to find out about" what? "Your faith." And if you're keeping track, in chapter 3, five times, on five occasions, Paul mentions their faith. He mentions it in verse 5, "Your faith." Verse 6, "Your faith." Verse 7, "Your faith." And then again in verse 10, "Your faith." Paul is deeply concerned about their faith. And he's saying to himself, you know what? You know, I had to be ripped away from them violently. Right, I was chased out of Thessalonica. He even says that Satan had hindered him from getting back to them. And he says in verse 5, "I also sent him to find out about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you and that our labor might be for nothing." So Paul is sitting here like, man, they're going to just fall back. They're going to revert back to their pagan ways. All of the gospel work that I had done is going to be undone. It'll be for nothing, right? But here's the thing. Exactly the opposite has occurred. And instead of them abandoning their faith, they weren't abandoning their faith. They were thriving in it. They were thriving in their faith. And how do we know this? Look at what Paul writes in verse 6. He says, but now, Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith. Timothy has come to us and brought us good news of your faith. And please don't miss the strong adversative conjunction Paul uses in verse 6. He says, but now. I don't know that there are any more glorious words in Scripture. You see it in Ephesians 1:4, or in chapter 2, and it talks about how we are enslaved to our sin, how we were walking in darkness. And then it says, but now, but God. Right? And this is the idea here. But now, I thought everything was going downhill. I thought you were going to fall off of your faith walk with Jesus. But now, he says. And this marks a major contrast from what Paul had expressed in the previous verses. It's as if Paul is saying, I thought that the church's faith was going to crumble under intense persecution and the temptation of Satan. But instead, right? But now, the opposite is happening. So Paul says that Timothy is not coming back with a negative report, but with good news. He's coming with good news of their faith. And what's interesting is the word that Paul uses for good news. It's usually associated with the proclamation of the gospel, right? And here, Paul is using it to communicate just how positive Timothy's news was, how positive the report was from Timothy. But look at what else verse 6 says. It says, good news about what? About your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us, just as we also long to see you. And this is where we get to find out what the indicators of a strengthened faith are. Please notice that Timothy's good news was based on two realities. The first one, the faith and the love of the Thessalonians. The faith and the love of the Thessalonians. So, in other words, the Thessalonians had not wavered in their new beliefs and behavior patterns. And Paul was happy to hear that the Thessalonians' confidence in God had not wavered, even though they were being severely persecuted. Their faith was holding up. And this is a huge indicator of a strong faith. You know, friends, when we experience difficulty through persecution or through affliction, we can still maintain our belief and confidence in God. And that demonstrates that our faith is strong when we're holding fast to God, when we're holding fast to Jesus. I mean, think about it. Oftentimes, when Christians suffer, their first response is to do what? It's to doubt God. God, what have you done? God, I don't know if you're still good. God, I don't know if you're still for me. God, I don't even know if you're there. It's common to want to doubt God when things get tough. But again, what we've got to keep in mind is that God is sovereign over all of our afflictions. He's sovereign over everything that happens to us, and he's accomplishing his purposes. And it's easy to doubt the goodness of God, but a strengthened faith doesn't lean on its own understanding. A strengthened faith doesn't lean on its own understanding. Even though it doesn't understand what's going on, it leans on God. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to trust God. We've got to put confidence in God. And so one of the positive indicators of a strengthened faith is that we continue to trust God regardless of what we're experiencing. And this is the thing that motivates Paul. He's expecting to get back a horrible report from Timothy, and just the opposite occurs. They're still loving and standing firm in their faith. And so the faith aspect speaks to the fact that the Thessalonians were still believing in and trusting in God despite their afflictions. But Timothy's good news also included love. It wasn't just that they were standing firm in their faith, right, their beliefs. It was also in their love. So not only did this church not waver in their confidence toward God, they also didn't falter in their conduct towards each other. And that's important. Faith, church, faith and love go hand in hand. The two are linked together. Paul says as much in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, where Paul says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working how? Through love." Your faith is evidenced by how you love others well. And this is what the Thessalonian church was doing. Despite persecution, despite affliction, despite difficulty, despite challenges, they are loving well. They're believing in Jesus, holding to Jesus, and loving others well. That's vitally important. Theologian Charles Wanamaker, he says it this way. He says, quote, "For Paul, belief in God and his saving purposes should lead to a response of active love." Get that? active love manifested particularly in the way Christians behave towards one another. How we treat each other matters. And it even matters more when times are difficult, because when we go through difficult times, we can sometimes let what we're experiencing impact how we treat others. A tough time at work, difficulty in other areas of your life, and then you bring that frustration and anger maybe home, and you take it out on your wife or on your husband or on your kids. Maybe with friends, coworkers, it's easy to let the afflictions of this world dictate how we treat other people. And the distress and affliction that we face can easily manifest itself in meanness and unkindness towards others. But the indicator of a strengthened faith, church, the indicator of a strengthened faith is not that we only believe rightly in God, but that we also behave rightly towards others. That's vitally important. And this was the good news that Timothy reported back to Paul. And as we will see shortly, this had a very powerful impact on Paul and his ministry. How are we treating other people when we go through difficulty? First of all, who are we holding on to? Who are we anchored in? Our faith is anchored. Faith always has an object. Our faith is anchored in Christ. And if a strengthened faith is anchored in Christ, it will evidence itself in how we treat one another. Right? That's the key. And the second thing we need to see is the high regard and longing to see Paul again. Right? So first we see the faith part. And now, notice what else happened. So the second indicator of a strengthened faith is how the Thessalonians viewed Paul. Their view of Paul. Now, we got to remember that Paul in chapter 2 was giving a defense of his ministry. In chapter 2, he had been accused of abandoning this church. And so Paul takes to defending the fact that, no, he was called by God, he was approved by God, and he lived a life that was worthy of the gospel before the Thessalonians, right? He lived well, he loved well, and he led well. So he's defending his ministry. And again, he's giving this defense of his ministry based on these accusations that he had abandoned the church or that he had only preached to them for monetary gain. And nothing could be further from the truth. But what else is important is that Paul preached the gospel of good news about what Jesus had accomplished, and yet these believers were experiencing hardship and difficulty as they were being persecuted for their faith. As one theologian put it, the Thessalonians might have resented the situation of oppression in which they found themselves when they discovered that the supposed good news Paul had announced to them was in reality bad news, in that it directly led to their suffering. You know, Paul, you said that we ought to believe in Jesus. We're believing in him. We're following him. And now what do we get? We get persecution from our countrymen. We get persecuted for standing for Jesus. Thanks a lot, Paul. Right? Paul is thinking, man, maybe there's some resentment. Maybe there's some bitterness about this. But what we find in verse 6 is that the Thessalonians did not resent Paul or hold him in contempt, but actually had fond thoughts of him and longed to see him again. These believers, church, they did not hold any grudges against Paul, but actually had kind memories of him. And this is the second indicator that there was that their faith was holding strong. That their love was intact. Their thoughts about Paul were not negative or resentful, but positive and meaningful. When certain Christians come to your mind, how are you thinking about them? When certain people who have wronged you in the past come to mind, how do you think about them? How do you view them? Now, I understand that sometimes Christians can do things to each other that can cause attitudes of bitterness and anger. I've been recipient of that. I know what that's all about. And these things can linger, right? They can fester. But one of the signs of a strengthened faith is that our love for one another is motivated by Christ's love for us, right? How Jesus loved us in spite of ourselves. Now, granted, Paul did not do anything wrong to this church. He didn't wrong them in any way. But that doesn't change the fact that from his perspective, he probably felt as though they had some animus towards him or some bitterness or anger towards him. So you can just imagine the gratitude, the reassurance that comes over him. I mean, what a blessing to hear that they thought warmly and kindly of him and couldn't wait to see him again. There wasn't any bitterness. There wasn't any anger. There wasn't any resentment. They looked forward to seeing Paul, right? It says here again in verse 6, right? He reported that you always have good memories of us and that you long to see us as we long to see you. They were glad and hopeful to see Paul again. My question to you all this morning is there something that somebody has done to you that is lingering in your mind? How are you thinking through that? How are you navigating that situation? If there is something that is causing you not to think kindly of a particular brother or sister in Christ, then you need to prayerfully go to that individual and reconcile with them. Right? If there's something between you and another believer, maybe it's not even that deep. Maybe it's just a misunderstanding. But again, how is that causing you to think of them? If there's any negativity, any bitterness, any anger, any resentment, you need to go to that person and prayerfully ask them for forgiveness or seek forgiveness from them. Have that conversation, right? Because again, the mark of a strengthened faith is not only continued faith in Jesus, but how we love and treat one another, right? And so we need to keep that in mind. Scripture says that love is not what? Irritable or resentful. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Now, irritable means easily provoked, right? Quick to get angry. And resentful means to keep count of something, like you're keeping a track record. Remember that time at the deacon's meeting when you cut me off? And it's that kind of idea, right? And it's interesting, the word for this idea of resentful, it's actually the word logizomai, and it's an accounting term. I'm keeping my track. I remember you did that. Got it. You did that too. Got it. You did. And you're just keeping track and tabs and building up this balance sheet of wrongdoing against somebody else, right? And the Thessalonian church did not hold any grudges towards Paul or his team, right? Not Silas, not Timothy, but they thought kindly of these guys. This was a positive indicator that their faith was strengthened. Friends, as Christians, we need to remember that all true believers are a part of the family of God. Note, family of God. And are transformed by the saving love of Christ. That's vitally important for us to keep in mind. Because of this, our love for one another ought to motivate not only how we treat one another, but how we think of one another. How we're thinking of people. When that person's image comes to your mind, how are you thinking? Is it immediately, I can't stand, or is there love there? Whatever is causing that friction, we need to get that resolved. We need to let Christ's love motivate how we express that love in our thoughts and actions towards one another. Second thing we need to see from our text this morning is the powerful impact. What kind of impact results from a strengthened faith? Right? What impact did the good news from Timothy, what did it have on Paul? What impact did it have on Paul? Look with me at verse 7. Verse 7 says, therefore, or in some versions, for this reason. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction, we were encouraged. Why were they? We were encouraged about you through your faith. The thing that encouraged Paul was the faith of this Thessalonian church. We were encouraged by your faith. And Paul says in the word encouraged there, it's comforted. That's what it means. It means to encourage, to comfort, to be with. And the word comforted here, it means to be encouraged. It means to be uplifted, right? And when Paul heard about the Thessalonians' faith and love and how they longed to see him again, it was a great encouragement to him. It boosted him. And notice the context of this encouragement, right? Paul says it was in the midst of what? Distress and affliction. Paul is going through it, ran out of Thessalonica, right? Maybe was there for maybe 3 or 4 weeks, a month, chased out of Thessalonica. And if you want information about that, Acts 17 gives us the whole account of how he was chased out. So he's going through it right now. He's been separated from this church that he loves. He's in distress and affliction. He sends Timothy, man, just go find out how they're doing and report back to me. And then it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction, we were encouraged through your faith. Church, you never know the powerful impact that your strength and faith can have on someone else. You just don't know when other people see you walking strong in the Lord, what it does for them. Getting back to Pastor James Coates, the pastor that was arrested, he had this to say about his wife and the impact of her faith while he was in prison. He says, quote, my wife is an incredibly courageous woman of conviction, he said. So there was really never any doubt for her that what we were doing was the right thing. I didn't have to bring her along. If anything, there were times when she was having to bring me along. He was encouraged by the strength and the faith of his wife while he was in prison, right? And the elders of the church were saying, listen, we're going to continue to minister the word of God to God's people despite government regulation. And that has an encouragement on him, that had that encouragement on him, that we're going to press forward. We're going to continue to serve God. It says that he was encouraged by his wife's faith. Now, what's ironic about our text this morning is that Paul sent Timothy to encourage the Thessalonians, right? He's sending Timothy, hey, go encourage them, go find out how they're doing. But guess who ends up being encouraged? Paul. Paul himself ends up being encouraged by them. He's excited about their faith. I mean, look at what Paul says in verse 8, right? He says in verse 8, for now we live. For now we live if you stand firm in the Lord. For now we live if you stand firm in the Lord. And Paul is speaking in hyperbole here. I mean, he's alive, you know, he's well, he's active, but he's saying, I have a new lease on life now because I'm seeing how your faith is. I'm encouraged by your faith. It brought Paul great comfort to see and know that the Thessalonians were progressing in their faith and love and holding their ground, which is what that word means there when it says stand firm. It actually means to maintain a position, to hold ground. They're not giving up. They're standing firm. And this energized Paul as he found this report out and he got this news back. He's energized by their faith. It brought him comfort. You know, when other believers see your strength in faith, it ignites them to be strong in their faith too. It ignites them to say, you know what? I can stand up for Jesus as well. I'm seeing him do it or her do it. I can do it as well. It's an encouragement to others. And this is the case with Paul. And when you know that a brother or sister is walking through real difficulty, real struggle, real affliction, and yet they can still hold their head high and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my circumstances. Jesus is Lord of the afflictions that I'm going through. Jesus is Lord, church, of it all. And when you can focus on Jesus like that and others see that, man, that's infectious. That's contagious. It permeates through a church. And that's what Paul was experiencing with the Thessalonian church. This strengthens our resolve to live for the Lord when we see other people living for the Lord. And in speaking about Paul, I like how theologian Robert L. Thomas puts it. He says, quote, "To know they continued standing firm in the Lord, unmoved by affliction and unshaken by his detractors, was enough to stimulate Paul to renewed activity," end quote. To stimulate Paul to renewed activity when he knows that they're continuing to stand firm, to hold their position, to maintain their position, their stance in Jesus, that energized his faith. Your ability to remain firm in the Lord, despite whatever affliction you're going through, has a profound impact on other believers to press on and remain firm in their faith. That's the impact of a strengthened faith. It causes others to stand up in their faith and to stand out for Jesus in this world that we live in. But then thirdly, the impassioned intercession of a strengthened faith. Don't miss Paul's prayer. In light of everything that has happened, in light of the report that is coming back from Timothy, don't miss how Paul prays. This is important. So he's been rejuvenated in his faith, and now Paul is almost at a loss for words in thanking God for what he's done, not only in sustaining the Thessalonians, but also the joy and spiritual vitality their faith brought to Paul. Look at what Paul says in verse 9, right? He says this. He says, "How can we thank God? We don't even know how to thank God, right? How can we thank God for you? In return for all the joy we experience before our God because of you," the Bible says. How can we even give thanks to God? The words fail us to thank God so much that you're standing firm in your faith. How can we thank God? What thanks can we render to God? The impact of the Thessalonians' faith resulted in thanksgiving and joy. Thanksgiving and joy before God. And it's interesting, the phrase "before God" here refers to prayer. Paul is referring to his prayer life. Paul was so thankful and overjoyed about the Thessalonians that he rejoices to God about them in his prayer for them. But notice Paul's frequency in prayer and his request. Note the frequency. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says this: "As we pray very earnestly night and day to see you face to face and to complete what is lacking in your faith," right? Night and day doesn't mean that he prayed for this church once in the morning and then again at nighttime. And it doesn't mean that all he did all day long was pray for them, right? He's just walking around praying for this church. No. Instead, it means continued, regular, and frequent prayer for these believers whenever they were on his mind. I'm going to lift up that church. I'm going to pray for that church. I'm going to continue to intercede for them and make intercession for them before God. And Paul uses the word earnestly to speak to the intensity of his prayers before God, right? He earnestly, night and day, is praying for this church. And the word means beyond all measure or to an extreme degree. That's what it means, earnestly, right? But also notice Paul's petition. What does Paul pray for? As he's praying for this church, what is it about? So note the nature of it and then the content. It's heartfelt and purposeful. Paul's prayer is heartfelt and purposeful. It's heartfelt because he prays that he would see the Thessalonians again, in which it shows his great love and longing for this church. Guys, Paul loves this church. Paul is in a very difficult situation. He's just gotten news back that, you know, they're doing well. They're thriving in their faith. And what does that lead him to do? Pray. I want to pray for this church. He wants to lift them up in prayer. And he has a reason or a purpose for seeing them again. What is that reason? Why does Paul want to see them again? It's so that he can complete
what is lacking in their faith. Now, the word complete here means to put back in order or to restore. And so even though Paul praised this church for their strong faith, he knew that there were still some issues that needed to be addressed. And remember, he got rushed out of there before he could really address those issues of concern. His short time with them did not give him the opportunity to speak to all of the things that were going on, and it didn't give him the opportunity to continue his discipleship, right? And so there were still some deficiencies, and as a matter of fact, in his writing this letter, it was an attempt to address some of those deficiencies. And we can see this in the closing chapters where Paul will address what sanctification looks like. He'll also talk about eschatological realities, right? Because he says, brothers, we don't want you to be what? Uninformed, right? So there were still some deficiencies in their faith. And he's saying, I'm praying to God that I can get back to you so that I can help build or complete what is lacking in your faith. The whole focus and concern, church, the whole focus and concern for Paul was the faith of this church. This Thessalonian church. He wanted to make sure that their faith was strong. And as I mentioned already, five times in chapter 3, he mentions their faith. And so he prays to God that he would be able to return to them and help them to progress even more in their knowledge of the Lord. For us, another powerful mark of a strengthened faith is an active prayer life. Another mark of a strengthened faith is an active prayer life. How are we praying for others? How does our faith impact how we pray and how earnestly we pray for other believers? Having been encouraged by Timothy's good report, Paul prays earnestly, right? Earnestly for this church that he loved so dearly. A strengthened faith, church, is a praying faith. A strengthened faith is a praying faith. And as you become more grounded in your faith in Jesus, this ought to motivate an impassioned and purposeful prayer life. As we grow in the Lord, as we become more strengthened in our faith, that ought to definitely affect how we love and think about and treat other people. Especially brothers and sisters in the Lord. But it also ought to influence our prayer life. It ought to shape and mold how we pray. And so we see the positive indicators, the powerful impact, and the impassioned intercession of a strengthened faith. And my charge to us, even myself, as Christians, is that we may seek to grow in our faith and in our love for one another. Grow in your faith and in your love. Friends, may our faith be the spark that ignites other believers in their faithfulness to Jesus Christ. And may we seek to passionately intercede for others, church. Intercede. Go before the Lord on behalf of others and pray for them and help them and help each other to gain a more robust understanding of God through meaningful and biblical discipleship. This is what Paul wanted for this church. And he never got a chance to return to see how they were doing, but his prayer life, his heart was with this church. The indicators of a strengthened faith are continued trust in Jesus, which evidences itself in how we love other people. It also has an impact on how other people live their lives because they see your faith and they're encouraged by it. They see how you live for the Lord and they're inspired by it. But it also influences our prayer life. May we be a church. May Pines Baptist be the church that loves others well, that continues to hold on firmly to Jesus and to lift others up in prayer. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word. God, your word is truth. Father, we don't know what difficulties or afflictions lie around the corner. But Father God, help us to have a strengthened faith, a faith that continues to trust in you, Lord Jesus, no matter what we go through. And God, may that faith influence how we love other people, especially those who are of the family of God, the body of Christ. And Father, may our strengthened faith and love for others influence how we pray for them earnestly, oh God. Give us that for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.